Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
John, you said that you have to dress up for your new job. How do you feel about that?
You know, I do feel like $1 million when I go to work, but it is obnoxious that it takes me a lot longer to get ready.
See, I never really dress up, but when I do, my sock game has risen tremendously from because of my friends over at Sacrilegious. Did I say sacrilegious? No, that's this show, but I did say sacrilegious. Have you ever tried any of these socks, dude?
I have not, but I'm literally looking them up right now because it sounds incredible.
Well... they are amazing, and as you look them up right now, you can use the code FORTE and get a percentage off. I didn't pull up the information for this. I believe it's 10%, and you can help me feed my children by buying socks for your feet. FORTECatholic.com/socks. Get all the coolest socks ever. John, I got myself in trouble on the internet the other day because I saw the new Joan of Arc socks, and I said these new Joan of Arc socks are fire, and I did not realize the connection.
Oh, yikes.
It was
please,
awesome.
Buy the socks, keep your feet warm, and feed Taylor's children.
FORTECatholic.com/socks. What's up? And welcome to Forte Catholic. I am your host, Taylor Schroll. I'm joined today by the one, the only, Jonathan Michelle Blevins. I know why he changed his nickname to Bearded, because Michelle's just a weird name for a large, burly man.
Are you saying Michelle?
Michelle. Like, did you ever watch Dodgeball?
Yep.
Like, that, like the biggest strong man was Michelle?
Yeah.
And you would never mess with him? I know that's the story behind your middle name, and we just never revealed that before until today, but it makes total sense why you went with Bearded instead, you know, in today's political culture and climate.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually trying to, you know, get into shape. We might talk about that in a little bit. So I'm trying to live up to Michelle.
Well, I'm very proud of you. Also, John's at work, and we're fitting this in a very busy schedule. John, you cannot look to your right because your microphone is on your right, and you just looked right, and I heard it. So
I cannot look to my right. Excellent. I will only look left.
You're an ambi-turner, which is another great movie from the early 2000s.
Perfect.
Have you seen that movie? You know what I'm talking about? No. Zoolander?
No. Oh, yeah. How are we going to fit into the building?
Exactly. It has to be at least three times this large. But yeah, you're an ambi-turner. Today, you can only turn left. Those are the rules.
Okay.
Deal?
Perfect.
Okay. So, John, today is a very special day. Do you know why today is a very special day?
I actually do know why today is a very special day. Do you want me to share it, or are you going to share it?
Go ahead. I'll let you do the honors.
It is our one-year anniversary since the very first time that I was on the podcast.
Yeah, the fans are screaming and going wild. There's a cat meowing. The cows are mooing. There's applause. Yeah. And then for that one person that doesn't like video games, there's a baby crying in the background. But
oh, beautiful.
Other than the baby, we're very excited that you came on as a guest. And we talked about video games, and I was like, this guy has 18 billion followers. He'll never talk to me. And now look at us. We're friends. We've met in person, and we make fun of each other on a monthly basis on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and it's crazy to think about. Like, I will never forget where I was. I think it was my first official podcast interview. I was at my parents' house in Arizona, swimming all day, left the pool to come talk to you. bad, horrible news broke about scandal stuff. And I was like, do you still want to talk? And you were like, this is about making Catholicism fun again. We have to talk. And I was like, okay. Yeah. It was great.
And then, like, ironically enough, you still haven't caught on. You were texting me some stuff you wanted to talk about today. And I'm like, absolutely not. We're not talking about that.
That's good, because I'm not as fiery or spicy as I was when we were texting the other day.
Well, that's good. I'm very glad that you've calmed down. But you are excited about something that you've done. We'll talk about it later on in the show. But you just went to the Focus and Vision and Cool Catholics Conference. What was it called?
Yeah, the Voice and Vision Conference, put on by the USCCB and the National Dialogue of the USCCB, in conjunction with Franciscan University of Steubenville. So my first time in Steubenville. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you about that. We're going to be doing that in our last segment. In honor of your first year anniversary, we're going to talk about video games again. We're bringing on Brian Montfort, who's another Catholic YouTuber when it comes to video games. He's an awesome guy. You and I have actually been on his show together talking about video games and our faith. We're going to bring him over and just kind of do a little a reunion and a reminiscing of the last year, talking about the old video games. You're good at those.
That sounds great. I'm good at two.
You're good at two video games?
I'm good at two. Madden
Fortnite. Fortnite. Yeah, exactly.
Halo. Maybe Halo.
It's funny. So I've played with you once, and then me and like our group of friends, Father Anthony, like we all play together, and you're like too important and cool for us, and you just play on your own thing. But like the rest of us play other games, and we were just saying the other day, like I'm getting pretty decent at Rainbow Six Siege. And I've got a great trainer, NX Puma, shout out to JJ, but he's like we've gotten pretty good. And we're like, we want John to come play just so that we can like defeat him very handily and easily, because you've never played before.
Yeah, you would destroy me. I've watched it a few times. It looks a little confusing, but I was just talking to Jason Duderman, and he was saying that he loves Rainbow Six Siege. Yeah. And so I might have to give it a shot.
It's amazing. You're amazing. And I just want to destroy you at something, because you're better at everything else in your life. Okay, moving on.
You look great, though. Can we just say that real quick? You look great.
Well,
I don't know what
you.
It is. Your trim, the haircut, you look good. Just want to let you know.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I kind of think like the haircut thing was a little derogatory, but we'll move past that and just keep going here. So our good friend Caitlin T with Tolkien for Chisa. That's her official middle name, by the way. Yours is Michelle. Hers is
I figured.
T with Tolkien. She has these like superlatives every year. They're called like the Tolkien Awards or something like that. And yeah. There was one, it was like they're just taking nominations for like best Catholic on Twitter, funniest person on Twitter, king of Catholic Twitter, queen of Catholic Twitter, best podcast, and all these things, right? There were so many podcasts submitted that she split it to two categories, best Catholic podcast and then like most underrated Catholic podcast. We yeah. were in that category. The Forte Catholic, it was in the most underrated podcast. We got last place in that voting, which yep. makes me think that we're still the most underrated. The most underrated? Some people are arguing that we're overrated. Some people were arguing that we were just good. I don't understand what it means to lose most underrated.
I feel like if you lose most underrated, that it means that you're correctly rated, which is good.
I have behind the scenes, never before heard information on this. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to.
So when it comes to nominations, we got as many nominations as the brothers over at Catching Foxes.
Ooh.
So we're moving up in the world. We're losing every poll that we're in, but in some small way, we're moving up together in the world. And it's all because of you.
Good to look at minor victories.
You always said that when you got this new job, that you were going to start listening to podcasts more. Has that happened?
Yep. Yeah. Initially I was going to live in the same house I was living in with my wife and kids in Gurnee for the year and commute, because it was just a lot to think about moving or leaving our community that we had there. And after 3 months of commuting about an hour each way, traffic is like, you can't beat it around this area. My wife was like, no way, we're moving now. And so for 3 months, I listened to more podcasts than I have listened to in my whole life combined. And since we've moved, I have not listened to one.
Well, I'm glad that you were truthful for 3 months. I'm very proud of you. That's
that
improvement for you. It's like the chips that they give to like the Alcoholics Anonymous people. Like, you got your podcast chip to not be a liar for 3 months.
Yep.
And then you just had to give your chip back to me. But one day I'll give it back. You can just start over today. How's that sound?
Thank you. I really would like to. I'm trying to figure out that balance of how I can. I haven't watched one Twitch stream either since I've moved to my new house and not had really time to even have it up in the background.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, now you're watching Mixer, but that's a whole nother story. We won't get into that. That's a whole other. It's a family affair. We'll put it that way. So,
that's right.
Speaking of podcasts, I know you're kind of a newbie when it comes to listening to podcasts. Have you ever cried while listening to a podcast?
Have I ever cried while listening to a podcast? I'm going to say no.
No? Okay.
No.
I have.
I've laughed so hard I cried, but I have not. Yeah. Like, shed tears of sadness.
That's only when you're listening to this show. I understand.
That's
but,
right.
I'll cry laughing at like the Catholic Guy show, the gold standard for Catholic radio and podcasting. Like I'll cry laughing, but like actual cry, like tearing up. And this is the one of those weird things that like over the last few years, I like before 4 years ago, I cried, I think once in my adult life, like that was it. And then ever since moving here, and I'm around this community of great and holy people at Ablaze Ministries. And I think they're telling me that they're helping me grow as a person. But now I'm crying while listening to podcasts. And I'm not sure if I've grown as a person or grown weaker as a person. So I just I want your advice on this. So here's what happened. Well, first of all, like, what is there anything that makes you cry or are you a real man?
So I cry a lot, but what this new thing in this past year for me has been to avoid crying as much as possible. So I'll watch previews of a movie that looks incredible and I get teary eyed in the movie or cry in the preview. I'm like, not watching it. I'm not crying on purpose. So I do cry often. I try to avoid it.
Okay. That's actually really interesting. And I'm glad that that's where we're coming from because we're going to meet in the middle soon. I never cried and now I'm crying and I think I'm doing it too much. You were crying a lot and now you're trying to limit it. So pretty soon I think we'll be the same person. So
mine is super unhealthy right now though. I'm like, I'm not watching this incredible movie cause I will weep.
So speaking of it's funny you mentioned the previews. My sister came into town. So my sister, my kid's aunt, we go and we watch the Pokemon movie, right? And during the previews of the Pikachu, whatever, Detective Pikachu movie a few months ago, during the previews, they're showing that like a dog's journey home too or whatever. And I look next to her. She's crying. It's like, the movie hadn't even started yet. We're still getting our popcorn and sneaking out our candy that we snuck into the movie theater. And she's already crying about the thing. Okay. So here's my story. And I don't know what's happening to me. I've cried twice in the last 2 weeks while listening to podcasts. What's even worse is one of them was a video game podcast and the other one was a Harry Potter podcast. Now, if you would have told 4 years ago me that I cried listening to a video game and Harry Potter podcast, I would have punched myself in each eye so that each eye had a black eye.
And rightfully so. I might do it now. I'm really intrigued to see why you cried.
Okay. So are you a Harry Potter fan?
Sure. I've watched them all. I've read all but one, I think.
Okay, so I'm listening to this podcast that's like going back through the story. It's like literary criticism, essentially, of the books, and then they do the movie after they're done with the books. And so it's like rehashing the story for me. I read all these books when I was a kid, so I didn't like. I'm seeing them with new eyes, and they're helping with that. Like they're going through all these great stuff and insight and character like how the character development is happening. And I'm listening to Goblet of Fire, which is the fourth one. So you've read that one.
Yep.
And no. It's Chamber, Prisoner of Azkaban. It's the third one. So, Harry's uncle, like, you don't know the whole book that the Prisoner of Azkaban is actually Harry's uncle. And he's painted as this horrible criminal and everything's wrong. And he's a bad guy and he's actually after Harry, which is true. It's just not for the reasons that people.
Sirius Black, right?
Right. Sirius Black. Exactly.
Yes.
Padfoot. You're so proud of yourself.
I'm like, I read them all. I did read the last one. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's this moment where like everybody thinks Sirius is bad. And then they all meet and like this final meeting, it's like Harry and Sirius and Snape and this werewolf guy. If you haven't read the books, this is not going to make any sense, but essentially like everybody there wants to destroy everybody, like a couple other people there. And they're all just like wands pointed at each other. And throughout this conversation, Sirius Black is explaining to Harry, it essentially comes to this moment of, like, he just turns to Harry in the midst of all of this. And he's, because they're arguing, like, who's the bad guy? The real bad guy and Sirius are arguing about who's the real bad guy, who betrayed Harry's parents and got them killed. And he looks at Harry and he says, I would have died before I betrayed your parents. And Harry, wow. Like, and it, like, literally the wording of the book is that Harry's throat, like, closed And he just looked at Sirius and nodded. And like, I'm bawling. I'm like in my car. I'm in a truck. I'm doing this like manly thing. I'm in a truck by myself helping my friend move. So I'm like carrying like 8,000 pound washers and dryers. And in the trip, in the trips back and forth, I'd cried.
Amazing.
And it was a strange thing because it was like, this man sacrificed everything. He was in this terrible prison. All he wanted to do was to protect Harry and to get back to Harry. And like, that was his intention. And everybody else thought that his intention was to hurt and to kill Harry. And it was just this like moment of trust from Harry and this moment of like Sirius, like finally getting everything that he had worked for the last, you know, 12, 15 years or so. And I cried.
You're growing.
Am I growing? Is this a good thing?
This is a good thing.
Okay.
You're growing forward. I'm growing backwards. We need to fix this.
Well, okay. Is this a spectrum? Like, is there a good amount of times for a grown man to cry in a year?
Yeah, I think crying is good. I think that it's important to have at least one cry a week as a grown man.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't mean like full on weep. I think it's important to have at least one full out weep once every 6 months. But I think having a tear roll down the cheek, at least one tear fully roll off the cheek once a week.
Okay, so I'm definitely not there, and you may be wrong. That one of those two things is true.
I've got to be right on this. Crying is so helpful.
So, like, the other things that make me cry, I'll get into the other podcast story in a second, but the other things that make me cry, like, on a more normal basis now, I used to never cry at stuff, and now I'm crying, like, anytime I watch, like, America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent or American Idol, like, any of these, like, anytime people achieve their dreams. I get what you're talking about. I'm not like crying, but I've got the one tear out of each eye coming down, and I can't talk for 30 seconds and then it's over. Right. Like that's what happens. But this last one, and this one, I think will connect with you because this is the video games story. It's about these brothers playing video games together as kids. And I didn't have brothers, so I didn't have that. I had like my friends when I got older, but like, you know, I'd have heard you talk multiple times about growing up playing with your brothers, and you were the big brother, and you were the good one, and we all know how that turned out. But this guy, and I have to give the backstory for this. You and I have talked about Pokemon Go before. You wanted to become friends, and then you became my friend, and now you don't play with me. It's very sad.
Okay. I moved, and my new house is nowhere near a Pokestop, and my old house had Pokemon up here. My new house has no Pokemon in it.
You can't send dying, me. You dude. Can't send me one gift.
What I'm all. I don't have any gifts yet. I've sent them all. I accepted too many friend requests. I sent all my gifts from London, and now I need to like get into a routine of walking downtown once a week, collecting Pokestops. Right now, I'm just hatching eggs.
Oh yeah, there you go. I'm very proud of you. So I've been trying to be more active, and there was one day that I like didn't have it in me to work out. But I was like, I'm going to go kind of for like a jog / walk. Like I couldn't do a full workout because I was exhausted, but I'm like, I'm going to jog until I can't anymore. And then I'm going to start walking. And there's a park close to my house, but it's this weird thing. Like in proximity, it's very close, but there's like woods all through it. So you have to like to drive around actually takes a few minutes. If that makes any sense. So like I can see it on my phone from my house. I can see the park with all the Pokestops, but I can't get over there. So I'm walking in my neighborhood, and I'm going on an adventure like a small child. I'm like, I'm going to find a path through these woods to go play Pokemon. And I'm walking through and I see this clearing, and like, there's these trees that I kind of, this bushes I have to push through. I walk through, and there's this huge clearing. And I could see all the way through it. And I realized very quickly that it's because this clearing is to make sure that the government building that is by this fence can be seen by people trying to get into the government property. So I'm walking back there over to the park. I walk all the way by it, and I'm listening to this podcast. So I'm in the middle, behind me and in front of me, all I can see is like this mowed down place. All to my left is very thick woods. All to my right is a government building with very good security on their fence. Okay.
Yeah.
Listening to this video game podcast, and they're sharing memories. It's their 600th episode. They're sharing memories of like great video game memories. And this guy starts sharing. He's like, "Hey, I had this when I was growing up, my younger brother has special needs. And he's like, I would always play this one video game, and he would always come in, and all he wanted to do in this video game was ride the trains." And it's like, that's not what the game was about, but the special needs son John just showed me his Pokemon Go. He's sending me a gift, I think.
I am. Good listening.
I'm walking through here. The special needs son always wanted to ride on the trains, go see the trains. So every time the older brother would walk away, he'd come back, and the younger brother had found the train and had gotten on and started riding it. What happened, though, is that the special needs younger brother kept deleting all the says of the older brother. Now, I'd assume that you had experienced something like that before.
100%.
Very much so. So I never did, because I didn't let anybody touch my things, and I just had sisters, so that was helpful. But he kept deleting all of his saves. And like he was being nice about it. He's like, you know, special needs brother, I'm not going to yell at him or anything, whatever. But then he kept doing it and kept doing it. Then he bought a second memory card, would save on there, hide it. The brother would find it, go put it in, delete the saves. So he, like, the older brother finally went to his mom and was like, hey, look, like, I need to, like, we need to do something about this. Like, this is kind of starting to get frustrating. So
yeah.
His mom buys the other kid a whole new system, buys him that game, and all he does is ride the trains in the game. Like, this game's about something completely different. He just gets on the trains and rides them. And so the guy finishes up his story. He says, well, you know, 10 years ago this week, my brother passed away. And he said, like, now I look back at those memories, like, even though I was frustrated, I would give anything for my brother to be here today to delete my saves. And I am losing it. Like, just the way he said it. I'm in the middle of the woods by myself and I'm crying. And this isn't like the two tears, like multiple tears coming down my face. And it got me. So that was just like a strange story for me. Do you still think I'm growing, or am I growing insane?
No, that's growing, man. That's growing in holiness, sanctity, all of the above. You're growing.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm sure I'll get hate mail for this, but you know, whatever. If John's proud of me, then I'm proud of me.
It'll help you love your wife more, your kids more. I think it's great.
I think you're great.
What a blessing.
And that awkward pause and that awkward thank you is how we are going to end segment one. We are going to be right back, my friends, with Brian Monfort of Work to Game. We're going to be talking some more about video games, how it connects with our faith. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Brilliant.
Yo, I hope you are enjoying today's show. We're having so much fun making it. If you are enjoying the show, you can do something super easy. Take you 30 seconds to help me out and help other people hear about the show. Head on over to iTunes, wherever you are listening to the podcast. Go give it a rating and leave your review. It would be fantastic. Help more people to find the show. I would really, really appreciate it. Help me help you help someone else make Catholicism fun again in their life. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I'm still Taylor Schroll. That's still Jonathan Michelle Blevins on the other side. And we are joined also by Brian Leandro Monfort.
Leandro.
Is that your real middle name? I think it is.
It's Michael Lewis is my middle name.
Michael Lewis?
Yeah. So I took my confirmation saint's name and appended it to my middle name. My middle name being Michael Lewis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort, being my confirmation saint and patron. And so that's the way. And then I named my son, not Junior, but I named him Michael Lewis. So.
Well, there you go. Dude, ooh. You and I both have a secret Catholic junior. I knew that if I named my son Taylor Lee Schroll Jr., everybody would make fun of me. So I just named him my confirmation saint, Christopher Lee Schroll, and he's my secret Catholic junior, and I guess it's not a secret.
Same page. Same page right there.
Exactly. So, Brian, you have John and I have gone on your stream before, or on your podcast before. You, like John, are a Catholic YouTuber, Catholic streamer, all of the things. You talk a lot about like blue mages and stuff, and I don't understand what that is. But just introduce yourself a little bit to the audience. Who are you? What do you do in like your regular daytime life? And then what do you do in the night?
Hello, internet and radio listeners out there and TV land, all that
the
fun stuff.
The daytime.
So my name is Brian. I have a YouTube channel, I guess I'll say it, Work to Game, in which that we kind of started it because as a parent, as a gamer, I was, you know, watching YouTube and I found that there was a real major lack in people not cussing all the time and, you know, just being just, I just couldn't watch it around my kids. And as they learned to walk and listen and actually repeat the things that we hear, I was like, there's got to be an alternative. And so there wasn't. And so I created that. What I do in the daytime, I'm a software engineer, a cartoonist, I teach confirmation. We just wrapped up that as well. In the nighttime, when I'm not exhausted after trying to get the kids to stay in bed, I relax with some Final Fantasy or some Destiny, or watch a podcast, or I watch John stream and hang out while he just crushes it in Fortnite. I wish I had those kind of skills.
the most important
took me a long time. It took me a long time to get even decent at the game.
3 hours. 3 hours is a long time.
Just three.
Brian also hates Anthem. That's what the internet community knows. Is that...
Oh my gosh. it breaks my heart. Those who don't know what we're referring to, it's a game that looked really exciting, and then it like pretty much was a pile of lies. Like what was there, they built in like 12 to 18 months. So like, it's kind of impressive when you actually look at the amount of time that they had. They wasted like 6 years, and then they tried to finish it in 18, and it hurts me. They just released a patch, and I'm like, I can't bring myself to go and try it. Just like, I need more time. I need more time.
You want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah.
Bought the game, never once played it.
Oh my gosh.
Was that at all?
That doesn't sound like a fun fact at all. That sounds like the Bonsai Bros pressured you into doing something.
They actually bought it for me.
Fun fact. Oh, okay. Did they really? I was wondering who pressured you to buy it, because Brian was the one. He was so confusing. He was like, I love this game and I want it to be good, but also don't play it. And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like,
that was my review. Like, I really think that this game has a lot of potential, but it's not ready. Don't play it. You're just going to get mad at it.
Yeah. And I think Anthem's a perfect example for what you wanted to talk about today. So there has been essentially the reason I was looking forward to it. I think the reason you were looking forward to it and most people are looking forward to it is it took everything that we love about video games, promised it to bring all of these things together and to present it to us. Like some of the greatest storytelling and some of my favorite games ever made by the same people. Some of the greatest combat, some of the biggest games ever, like all of these people working together on this one game, and it did not deliver. And you kind of wanted to talk about, like, all three of us have talked about the positive effects of video games. Like when John first came on a year ago, that's what we talked about. You and I have talked about it. We've talked about it on your podcast, on your stream. You kind of wanted to talk about some of the other side today. So what did you want to like bring to the table today?
So one of the things that like I see, because it's like obviously we've just, and it sucks to have to talk about it, but we've obviously seen video games being blamed for mass shooting violence that we just had here in the state of Texas, that we had in Idaho, and all of that. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But that's not to say that as gamers, there isn't a level that fervency and passion that can be taken and run in the wrong way. So we talk about like putting this in a Catholic context of what does it mean to be a game player, a gamer, somebody who streams and things like that. Honestly, it's probably the hardest thing. John and what he does on his stream, as we see more Catholic and Protestant streamers come on board, we're asking a lot of them, because there is this sense that you're kind of fighting a battle against just like the passion and the emotion that can be tied into it. Just like you were watching a sports match, like a football match, is sometimes it can get easily to get caught up and overwhelmed by that. And when I look at it from the perspective that I talk to people about video games and when they're dealing with just rage, like we see people who they put everything in a basket. They think Anthem is going to be the cure all for, for whatever ails them. They've bet on it and it fails them. They don't seem to have anywhere to turn to. They struggle in which a connection or a community. And I often have said it, and we were talking about it just a minute ago, was about the replacement of faith and religion and the church for that of video games. That some people can end up having that same passion that they bring to games, where we would see that also with kind of devotion to God, being a disciple of Jesus in that regards. But then when you take that out and you have that same, there's a void. And so people fill that video games with that void. And I really feel for those people. And so one of the things that we always try to do is talk about things in a rational way, calm down the situation, let people know that just because that game doesn't perform up to expectations, that's not the be all end all of this life. Do y'all see any kind of connection with that within your communities and interactions where people have that just passion? And it, I kind of look at it from the same kind of passion that I have when I teach kids about Jesus, that I would say when I would talk to somebody about, you know, Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I don't want to maybe like make a too strong of a statement when I say this, but I feel like it's kind of true. A lot of people make video games their God. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that there's not a video game ever that will be perfect. As Catholics, we believe that our God is, and we can always rely on him and he won't let us down. But video games will. And so when we put all of our time, all of our effort, all of our conversation, every single thing we do around a game, then we're going to be disappointed a lot. Fortnite's a great example of that. It's still the most played game on the planet, yet every person that plays it all the time rips on it on Twitter. And it's like, well, they love it. They love playing it, but they're upset about everything all the time because it's not perfect. And so, it can be a super unhealthy thing.
And I think what's interesting is like the two examples that y'all just gave are pretty interesting for connections to the faith, because I know it's not a perfect comparison, and don't get mad at me, but
all analogies break down. Don't worry about it.
They do. But the mentality behind it, I think, is the same. It's like everybody for a long time put all of their faith, all Catholics, put all their faith marbles in like, we trust in God and we trust in his church. And then last year, like we're talking about last year a lot today because John came on a year ago. We brought up the scandal earlier. It's like a year ago, when the scandal hit, like a lot of our faith took a hit because of that part where we trust in the church, right? And mm-hmm. a lot of that happened. And that, I know it's not perfect, but like it's like the anthem thing. Like we all put so much faith in this thing that we should not have probably put that much faith into these people that have been good for a very long time. And then they made mistakes. You know, obviously the scandal's a much bigger deal than a video game not coming out well. Like that's why it breaks down. But on the other side, what John is saying is like Fortnite is super popular. Like it's by all accounts, it's a great game because it's mm-hmm. you can't not say that, right? Because it's so popular. It's the most popular stream, the most played. And yet, like you said, John, all the fans nitpick it. And that is something that absolutely drives me nuts about like Catholics in faith. It's like, we're going to nitpick all these little things. We're going to nitpick every little thing. And it's like, you say you love Fortnite, and yet you complain about it all the time. You say you love the church, and you complain about it all the time. Yeah, go ahead.
G.K. Chesterton said it best. He says that Catholics agree on everything. It's just everything else we disagree on. You know, and it's just that, like the people who are closest to it, who love it the most, you know, have kind of that relationship. I think the other challenge here, like in all of this, is with the sense that communities – form around these games or essentially streamers. Like there is kind of a two layer there. John has his community, on his stream. We have our community, but around like also form around specific games. And I think that that's actually something that ideally the church and us as Catholics and the Christian church as a whole can do hopefully a lot better in which that whenever those communities fail, that there is still a bigger community that we're all a part of. We're all part of, just at a human level, that you're not necessarily alone. And that's something that just kind of like, for me as a parent and as somebody who, I mean, I love video games, but I love Jesus more. And I like to always make sure I say that because I'm always concerned in measuring myself against you love what you spend your time with, right? You're like, if I don't spend time with my wife, you know, it's like if people look back at my life and be like, what did he love? And they only see video games and they don't see Jesus. Then I have my priorities incorrectly set.
Amen.
Yeah, for sure. And like I went through this last night. I tweeted about it last night and it got mixed reactions, but it was real. It was essentially, I forget how I worded it, but like I got home yesterday and Xbox Live was down. It had been down from like 3 p.m. until for a lot of people and a lot of things like late into the night. So like I did not play my Xbox yesterday. I had all this time that I could. They started letting some people on, but like I couldn't get on. All day, all evening. And I had spiritual direction, left my spiritual direction, was like empowered, encouraged, and challenged to like increase my prayer life, to be more consistent with my prayer life, to put more things, put my prayer life in front of the things that are easier, work, video games, Netflix, all these things, right? So I get home, I immediately hug my kids, I say hi to the family, go to my Xbox, turn it on, realize that none of the games are working. And then I'm like, the first thought is, maybe this is some kind of sign, or at least I need to go pray. And then I immediately realized that the Netflix app was still working and I watched Friends for 2 hours. Like, this was not good, right? Like, and I had the thought, I need to pray. I watched Netflix. I sent the tweet out because I thought it was like kind of like funny insight. And I feel like I'm not the only person that does that. And then it was this weird thing that, like, by sending the tweet, it helped me stay accountable. And I actually prayed. It took me 2 hours, but I actually prayed when I got off and I did my prayer time. So it was this weird thing of like, it's so much easier to play video games. It's so much easier. I know, like, work is supposedly hard, but like, it's easier to do work, to get things done, than to sit down and pray. And I think that's one of the things that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm interested if John, you have any insights on it, because I always kind of try to look at it, and I feel like I'm such a hypocrite, even though my priest was talking about like that. What I talk about hypocrisy isn't hypocrisy, but like, I talk about balance. I talk about trying to set up times. And I find that it's difficult to do everything that I want to do. And then also at the same time, put the right focus on where it's supposed to be. Right. Because I am, not meant for this world in that regards, but it is appealing. Like, video games are appealing. They're designed to be, I make them, it's like you, like the goal of it, if they weren't designed to be, there would be no industry around it. I'm curious, John, if you've got any insight.
Yeah. Anytime I get asked this, I feel like a cheater because I work in a church, and although I'm busy and I get to, direct a team of 8 people that report to me and meet with them one-on-one and as a team. So there's a lot going on, but also I can pray as part of my job. And when you're doing that, and it's actually even easier to do that now because I have all these people that I want to pray with. And so it's like, all right, we're going to pray every single week. We're going to do a holy hour. We're going to go to mass at least once a week outside of Sunday. And so it's, I'd say for me, the bigger struggle is praying with my family, spending the time praying with my family, because a lot of times I'll just get home and I'm tired and I'll just hang out with them. We'll pray before bed and then I'll stream. But spending that intentional time praying with my wife after we put the kids to bed and praying more with the kids is like my harder balance to strike rather than like prayer life in general. But it's tough, yeah, because it's way easier to just go downstairs and put the headset on and start. But yeah, it's tough to strike the balance. But again, for being able to do it every week and personally is huge.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not alone, because it's like, gosh, like, oh, because I had the scapular on, like, it's like I have my rosary's gathering dust, and it's like I go with seasonal. I don't know if you guys are like this at all. Like, I feel like sometimes my prayer life just like comes with the season. Sometimes it's like I'm fervent and it's just like, I really am connected. And sometimes it's like, man, when's the last time I did take time and spend that, like that hour outside of, I question, is it just the phase of my life? Cause I've got, 3 little kids. I got a 4th on the way, and mass is this disco dance.
Debacle.
Of like,
it's a debacle. Just, I know. It's
yeah. Like, don't color on that. And then it's, that's anyway, I'll leave it at that. Like, I'm trying my best.
Well, part of it is this too, I think, right. As a dad of 2 and my baby girl on the way, in January, like, congrats. When I watch my kids play, when they're just having fun, I look back and I just smile and I'm filled with joy. And I think as long as we're not abusing video games the way we can abuse anything by spending too much time on it, and we're keeping God in our minds as we're doing these things. I mean, he wants us to have fun. We're usually playing games for an hour at night and he's like, man, I wish you would have sat down and talked to me. It's like, hopefully you've been keeping up with him throughout the day and checking in throughout the day. But I think he sometimes delights in us having fun.
Right.
And that's a really good point.
Yeah. And like, that's, you answered my question before I even asked it. Look, John, it's been a year and you're answering my questions before I even ask them. So that's phenomenal. So we're just to kind of wrap up our conversation. We talked about some of the, for the first time, really, some of the pitfalls and the negatives around video games. And yet all 3 of us still play them. You 2 do it for part of your ministry, part of your work. Why do you still do it? John, you kind of already started your answer, but I'll let you refine it. And then Brian will get yours.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's fun. I think that done moderately, it can be a very awesome, healthy way to spend time with friends, especially friends who live far away. It's one of my best ways to keep in touch with some of my closest friends who want to veg out at the end of the day and do something while we're talking. And it's a great way to reach out to this younger generation that spends far too much time doing it.
So for me, why do I play games? They were a part of my life since like Super Mario Brothers 2 when I got like an NES, and I have such a huge connection with it as a dyslexic kid, somebody who really struggled in school playing like these RPGs, really was a passion that helped me kind of get over and be able to surmount like my reading, disadvantages and things like that. And they also like allowed me to kind of connect in with a lot of people. So just like John said, like one of the really great things is I get to play with a bunch of my college buds. Like we get to sit back and they're all across the world. Like all three of us are across the world. Like we were able to kind of do these things with the power of the internet. So it's something that it's just, I think, it's always been something I've been passionate about. It's what I went to go study, and I went and studied game design and development, and I do application stuff now, which is a really fun thing. But it's like there's a community that's there and that I like being a part of, and it's exciting, because it is something fun. I would say, as a final thought, and just to kind of share out there for like any parent out there, I would say play with your kids, whether it's like in the backyard or if they're playing video games. Like one of the things that my parents did until Super Mario went 3D was they'd play games with me. We would sit down and play Mario, and we'd play Final Fantasy, and we'd do that together as a family. Once it went 3D, they got a little motion sickness. So they were kind
of
like,
I was about to say, are they scared of real life? Like what happened?
We're tapped out. It's just like, my sister, like anybody who gets motion sickness by riding in the back of the car, like some people just can't, like when they look at something, it's like, if it's making you nauseous, like don't do it.
That's like how I feel when I look in the mirror.
Aw, self-deprecating humor.
Yay! Welcome to Forte Catholic. All right, we got to bounce. Brian, how can people? We talked about your stream. We talked about your YouTube channel. How can people find it?
I would just go over to YouTube and search "Work to Game." It's a simple kind of concept. We all have jobs, real lives, and things that we got to do, and we also like playing games. And we really strive for that family-friendly, business-friendly kind of perspective. We talk a lot about RPGs, but it's really a conversation wrapped around gaming. And just like you guys said, you guys were on the podcast. Go check out that podcast. I think it's phenomenal. We also then had John's other brother, Chris, on the podcast, which was phenomenal. And it's like, yeah, my goal is to get everybody that that touches games on the podcast to talk about a wide variety of things. So hopefully the number one compliment we get is that people find our conversations very interesting. So I was like, I'll take it.
Well, you are the 13th most interesting man in the world, Leandro. So we thank you for your time, Brian. I appreciate it. Everybody else, go check him out. And John and I will be right back. Maybe we'll find out right after this. Hey, John, you have a beautiful beard. Have you ever used any of the old beer balm?
I love beard oil and beard balm, Taylor.
Yeah, well, I have some fantastic beard balm from our friends over at Catholic Balm Co. They do not make balms. That would be weird. I don't know how you would sell that on the free market. But they do sell balms for your beard. And if you are a woman, I mean, you may have a beard too, and you can use the balm. I don't care, but you probably don't. And you can use the lotions for your hands and for your toes. I don't know where people use lotion because I sweat too much and I can't use lotion, but I use the beard balm. You can buy a chapstick. One time chapstick saved me, literally saved my life.
Ooh.
John, remember that time that you saved my life when I fell off the seesaw?
Yep. Picked you up, put you right back on it.
I'm so very happy. It's why I'm forever indebted to you.
And I got beard balm all over my hand.
You sure did. That's why I slipped off, actually. I had too much lotion and beard balm on. So everybody go to fortecatholic.com/beard. You can get a percentage off. I think it's like 11. Yes, it is 11. Turn it to 11. fortecatholic.com/beard. Back to Forte Catholic. We weren't sure what was going to happen when we left that last segment, but now we're back. 3 hours later. We're back 3 hours later from when we started this whole conversation.
Back and better than ever.
Are we better than ever?
Better than ever.
We are older and therefore wiser, which is why we kept the serious, more serious conversation to the end. Before we jump in, John, I want to share with you, specifically with you. I know no one else has to hear this. I want to share specifically with you possibly the greatest spiritual insight I had ever, and it happened this week. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
What years, people will argue it, but what years do you think millennials were born? Just roundabouts.
Okay. 1987 to 1995.
Okay, no, you're close on the beginning. The end goes a little bit later. Like, it actually does go past the, like, actual turn of the millennia. People will argue, but the whole point is that the millennials were, like, right before the millennia and right after the change of the millennia. Which means, my friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ is a millennial. Different millennia, but he's a millennial. And I realized this, and I tweeted it out, and I thought it was the greatest spiritual insight ever. But I can't remember who it is, but somebody had either the second greatest or actually was greater than mine. They said, well, if Jesus was a millennial, it means, therefore, that the Pharisees were the baby boomers. And I think
makes a lot of sense.
It does. I think it's the most true spiritual insight I have ever had. I got some help from some other people. And boy, oh boy, you could pray and sit with that for weeks. Like, people are going to listen to this. I mean, just kidding. It's just you and I talking. But people are going to listen to this and be sitting in their car a week from now and be like, wow, that's an insight about Jesus being a millennial. Like, the boomers didn't like him. Like, he was different. He was kind of a hipster. Like, I mean, it's kind of works, right?
Love it.
Okay, so speaking of millennials, it's just a perfect transition into what you did.
I have a better one.
Oh, do you?
I have a better transition. Are you ready for this?
Well, you know what would be a great transition? If you didn't say, hey, I have a transition.
During your transition, this is how podcasts work, Taylor.
Well, I have a better transition than your transition. It's better than my transition.
You ready for this?
Go.
So I'm at this Voice and Vision conference, which we'll get into in just a second. And it went well, and there's a lot of great dialogue happening. And someone on a panel who is a young adult and who works with young adults says to the crowd of people there at this conference, Jesus was a child and a teenager and a young adult. And that means that he has credit to speak about the love he has for those people or something similar to that. And the guy next to me leans over and just goes, and everyone's freaking out, right? Everyone's cheering. He just leans over to me and goes, does that mean Jesus doesn't love senior citizens? But, and I was like, he never was a senior citizen.
It's funny too, because my first thought, what I thought you were going to say, is that God didn't love people under the age of 30 until the year about 30 when Jesus was saying all these things.
Exactly. It was funny.
Old Testament God didn't like young people.
Not at all. That's why the she-bears killed all the children.
Exactly. My favorite story. Don't make fun of bald people. Okay, tell us about this conference.
All right. So, yeah, it was a Voice and Vision conference kind of put on by the USCCB, the National Dialogue, as well as Franciscan University in Steubenville. And I was graciously invited by Bob Rice to come and lead a session, a breakout session. And the whole idea, right?
I thought you were just attending. I didn't realize you were talking. You're so fancy.
Aren't I humble for not bringing that up? What a blessing.
You just brought it up. Like, you literally just brought it up.
But before that, okay. So, you know, I'm there, and I'm supposed to talk about junior high, and the whole kind of purpose of this, right, is to have a national dialogue with leaders who attended the conference. A lot of people who attended are incredible people in ministry, people that you know, people that I know. And so a lot of great people in the room, and they had panels about different things, and they're really trying to break open Christus Vivit, which is obviously the document that Pope Francis wrote, which came from the Synod on the Youth.
Yes, nice assumption that anytime you say something in Latin, it's just obvious what that is. Thank you. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you. I mean, I know it's obvious to you. So this whole idea, it's a good idea, right? And I just couldn't help but think, though, as I'm at this conference, and again, very glad I was there. A lot of great conversations happened. I'm excited to see the fruit of it. I'm thinking of, I was just at this leadership conference put on by the church that runs Alpha, HTB in London. So I was out in London a couple months ago, and they brought out people, pastors from Life Church, like some of the biggest people, you know, in Christian leadership and ministry. And not just like, you know, not Joel Osteen's who, you know, are like, oh, money, money, money. Like really people who love Jesus. And they're sharing about how they grew.
You heard it here. Jonathan Blevins doesn't think Joel Osteen loves Jesus.
Did I say that?
That's the deduction, deductive reasoning.
It's probably an unfair thing to say.
I didn't say it. You said it.
The gospel of money isn't the gospel that I've read. But I'm fine with that. You don't have to edit that out, Taylor. This is great. So but here's the thing, right? They're not like Life Church started in a garage and they weren't afraid. And so they just exploded and loved people and taught them about Jesus. And they see a problem or they see a generation of people and they're like, how can we reach this generation better? I have an idea. Let's just go do it. Right. And sometimes that fails. And, you know, we need to be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to fail in ministry. And the Catholic Church is always like, here we come, 2000 years of amazing, beautiful, you know, tradition. And we're the best. And we're the church Jesus founded. And we're like, okay, Generation Z, what are we going to do with them? Well, I have an idea. Let's have a synod that takes a year. And we'll fly people all around and we'll talk about this generation. And the generation will be from middle school kids all the way through to young adults. And then after the synod, we'll take another year to have a dialogue about the synod. And then after the dialogue about the synod, we're going to release documents and another letter, a pastoral letter from the USCCB that instructs dioceses and parishes and lay apostolate ministries on how we should be, implementing these new ideas so that we can reach Generation Z and these millennials. And then by the time they teach everyone how it goes,
then it's Generation A. Yeah.
So part of me is at this conference, I'm like, there's a lot of really good ideas being shared. Let's just go do them. And we're so slow sometimes as a church. And so I was fired up. There's a lot of good things happening, but I'm also like, all right, let's go. Let's get boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. That's the most video game thing you've ever said in your entire life. That's all that video game marketing that got into you. Yes, the church is slow. We know that. And it's interesting because like I've been in a conversation recently about just some things going on in my life about like this whole trusting in God and taking the next step and then also having prudence and not going too quickly. And like that's a hard balance. And I think there's dangers either way, right? So just going out and doing something without a plan, that's a terrible idea. And never doing anything is a terrible idea. So the answer is somewhere in the middle. But it's like, which side do we kind of lean towards, right? Yeah. And I think what you're saying is like, we maybe as a church, and I think a lot of people would agree, we're on the like slow and methodical and like let's get this right when we do it, but then let's move a little bit faster, right? And I think that's it's a generational thing. Like we talked about the whole millennials and the boomers thing. It's like our generation is very fast moving. Like we want new, we want change, we want things to improve very quickly. And so it is kind of frustrating when we're in a 2000 year old organization. It's hard to argue with something that is the longest standing organization of all time. But at the same time, there is still some frustration there.
Yeah. And it's not fair. Jesus said the gates of hell would never come against it. So nothing we do will ever, you know what I mean? We're like the guarantee.
As best as we have tried, the church has not fallen. Jeez Louise.
I had a great conversation. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I had a great conversation with a priest friend of mine who's a vicar general in the United States. I won't say where because that would be very easy to find.
Because then I'd be bragging.
No, oh my gosh. So we had this great conversation where he was basically saying that the Catholic Church has almost always operated out of a place of scarcity. Like we don't have enough resources. The ship is sinking. We got to close. Whereas a lot of these churches or ministries that are kind of booming operate out of a mentality of like abundance. Like we are going to grow this thing and we're going to grow up big and here's how it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen like this, well, we're going to find the next thing that makes it work. And you look around at the churches and dioceses and a lot of parishes are closing and those things are happening. Whereas these other churches who start in garages have 12, sites, around the entire country. And I think that isn't just an analogy for like church. It works for all of us. Like, am I operating out of scarcity in my own life, not trusting in God, taking that next step, like you were saying, or out of abundance that I know that God's got this, he's going to take care of me if I stay at, in line with his will. Share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually just read this coming Sunday's readings, and it's all about Abraham. Whenever he it just says that God told Abraham to go walk out into this land, and like the wording is hilarious. He's like, he led them out into the land, and Abraham went there because he thought the Lord was trustworthy. But what's so interesting about that? It's like Abraham's, perfect for this conversation. I wouldn't even plan on talking about this. It's like that Abraham is known as the father of faith because God, like, I love the introduction to this story, which is right before this. It's like the Lord God introduced himself to Abraham and said, go that way. And Abraham picked up all of his things and left. Like, he didn't know this God. Like, it's not like he didn't grow up, a person of faith. He's the father of faith. It didn't exist. this is the thing. And, like, he just picks up his stuff and goes. And yet, if you keep reading the story, he makes mistakes along the way. He hides his wife and pretends it's not his wife so that they don't take. And it's like this weird thing is he makes all these mistakes, but he's known as a father of faith because he still trusted. He still listened. And even though he made those mistakes along the way, God was still just like, you're the man.
Amen. It would have been really funny if he was like, Lord, can you please put this in writing?
Right. Yeah. I need to run it by legal. Like when you went out with your son onto the mountain, were you virtus trained before you went out there? Like what was happening there? Another great line just from this reading this weekend. It's like, and so it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. It's like whoever wrote the book of Hebrews liked Abraham, but also Abraham did something to make him mad at some point. Because he said that he was like dead whenever he had his first kid. I find that amazing. Okay, so we got just like a minute left. So how would you wrap up? Like, what is the hope? What is the thing that you took away from that conference that you're like, this gives me hope and I'm going to go do it?
Yeah, here's what I took away. The amount of people there that know what they're doing in ministry, that have great ideas and feel like maybe their own particular diocese or their own particular parish may not have the resources to do what they think God's calling them to do yet. Those ideas are there, the inspirations are there, and the spirit is moving, and that's incredible. So I know they need to get this document out. They need to have this dialogue. They need to figure out the best way to reach all these different people. But at the same time, there's a group of incredible people who are attending the conference and helping to lead it that are ready to take the gospel where it has maybe not ever been shared yet, and that's very inspiring.
You're very inspiring. You know what else is inspiring? When I pulled up the daily readings as we were talking about that, I literally right next to the second reading, which is where I read came from, I'll give you one guess as to the picture of what book is sitting next to it.
Wait.
It's an ad for Christus Vivit.
No, it's not.
I'm dead serious. I couldn't have planned this any better. This is so, yeah, exactly. The USCCB is always watching. Okay, John, thanks so much for coming on today. This only took 4 hours over the course of 3 days to record, but we did it. I'm so proud of us.
Thank you. Me too. Always fun.
You're always fun. All right, guys. Go check out John at Bearded Blevins on all of the social medias. Go rate and review the show, Forte Catholic, especially on Apple Podcasts. It'll take you 20 seconds, and most of you are listening to a lot of these, and you haven't done that loving thing yet. Go do it. I love you. John loves you. Jesus loves you. And some man named Michelle loves you. See ya. John.
Yeah.
How much money do you make on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch a month?
How much money do what?
Yes, how much money do you make? What is your yearly salary? How much do you make from Discord? How much money do you make?
What is happening?
These are the kind of questions you can only get answered on patreon.com/ForteCatholic, where you can get all the bonus content. And it's also where you can help me feed my children, because I don't make $quadrillion like Mr. John Blevins over here by playing video games. Like, oh my gosh, are you like wasting your life? What are you doing? Well, if I was as cool as you, I would. Every time I stream, I have one person watch. I was going to make another joke, but I'm not going to. John, the people can go to patreon.com/ForteCatholic. They can get the sync cards that we talked about earlier in the show. They can also get all kinds of bonus content, literally hours and hours and hours of more content. John, you have to go feed your children and your wife. Save your marriage. Goodbye. I love you.
Goodbye. I love you too.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.